County Aging and Disability Resource Center provides training for community members to advocate in health, welfare, and or financial issues for vulnerable adults. For more information, contact 262-605-6646. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Saturday, October 7th edition of Kenosha Harbor Market will celebrate the city's Italian-American heritage with special music, cooking demonstrations, grass, bocce, and other activities. Kenosha Harbor Market is the outdoor market located near the museums.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
You are listening to Community Matters. I'm Jenny Tunkies, and welcome. I'm so pleased today to have as my guest Cameron Swallow. Now, Cameron wears many, many hats. She's involved in many things. For example, she's a bluegrass musician. She is a lover of singing harmony. She is an educator. She's wife of Carthage College President John Swallow. But today, what we're here to talk about is her role in helping all of us in our nation bridge the political polarization, the divide that separates us. And that is her role in the organization known as Braver Angels. Welcome, Cameron Swallow. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Jenny.
So tell me, just give me the overview on what Braver Angels is.
Right. Braver Angels was founded in late 2016 as a nonprofit, grassroots, but nationwide organization to depolarize the national political conversation. Making reds and blues hate each other less since 2016.
Great. So 2016, it's 2023. Are we doomed?
I'm not going to give a one word answer to that question, Jenny. But I do know in all seriousness that whether this project has some kind of end game measurable 100% victory success or not, I am satisfied and happy and engaged and proud to be part of the work along the way for whatever kind of intermediate successes that we can achieve while approaching that larger pie in the sky goal.
So I'm just going to say, I think that's a no, we're not doomed. I sense some positive energy from you that there's hope.
Right. Well, at Carthage last night, we had Stephen Olicara as a dinner guest, who's very much dedicated to holding space for the bipartisan conversation and productive engagement across difference in all areas of life, but particularly the political arena. And someone asked him that exact same question at the dinner table. And his answer was a slight slump to the shoulders, but a smile and a, well, you have to, don't you? You have to believe in potential and success and reward of the work that you're doing.
Right. Yeah. So Cameron, what drew you to this? How did you get involved in Braver Angels?
I started seeing Facebook posts on the walls of friends of friends. It wasn't anybody reaching out directly to me, but every time I saw something about this, I would click on it and learn something else and like it even more. And so by the time I got to the beginning of 2018, I was pretty convinced that this was something that I needed to investigate, not just to understand better, but to see how I could help, how I could be involved. And it also served a purpose for me of, having moved to Kenosha, Wisconsin in the summer of 17 and not knowing how I was going to define my time and my role in my new adopted community. And I wasn't a full-time school teacher anymore. And I was trying to learn how to be the presidential spouse at Carthage College. And what was I going to do with my time? What projects was I going to sink my teeth into and embrace and dedicate myself to? And Braver Angels certainly.
You are listening to Community Matters. I'm Jenny Tunkies and welcome. I'm so pleased today to have as my guest Cameron Swallow. Now, Cameron wears many, many hats. She's involved in many things. For example, she's a bluegrass musician. She is a lover of singing harmony. She is an educator. She's wife of Carthage College President John Swallow. But today, what we're here to talk about is her role in helping all of us in our nation bridge the political polarization, the divide that separates us. And that is her role in the organization known as Braver Angels. Welcome, Cameron Swallow. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Jenny.
So tell me, just give me the overview on what Braver Angels is.
Right. Braver Angels was founded in late 2016 as a nonprofit, grassroots, but nationwide organization to depolarize the national political conversation, making reds and blues hate each other less since 2016.
Great. So 2016, it's 2023. Are we doomed?
Oh, I'm not going to give a one-word answer to that question, Jenny. But I do know, in all seriousness, that whether this project has some kind of end game measurable 100% victory success or not, I am satisfied and happy and engaged and proud to be part of the work along the way for whatever kind of intermediate successes that we can achieve while approaching that larger pie in the sky goal.
So I'm just going to say, I think that's a no. We're not doomed. I sense some positive energy from you that there's hope.
Right. Well, at Carthage last night, we had Stephen Olakara as a dinner guest who's very much dedicated to holding space for the bipartisan conversation and productive engagement across difference in all areas of life, but particularly the political arena. And someone asked him that exact same question at the dinner table, and his answer was a slight slump to the shoulders, but a smile and a, well, you have to, don't you? You have to believe in potential and success and reward of the work that you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Cameron, what drew you to this? How did you get involved in Braver Angels?
I started seeing Facebook posts on the walls of friends. It wasn't anybody reaching out directly to me, but every time I saw something about this, I would click on it and learn something else and like it even more. And so by the time I got to the beginning of 2018, I was pretty convinced that this was something that I needed to investigate, not just to understand better, but to see how I could help, how I could be involved. And it also served a purpose for me of, having moved to Kenosha, Wisconsin in the summer of 17 and not knowing of places. And when local news dies, what you're left with in the local communities is an attachment to the national opinion ecosystem, which translates down to the local level as pure and harsh ideology. There's no sense that it's your neighbor that you're pitted against. It's the great evil on the other side, as represented by the worst of the national lunatic fringe on whichever side you're opposed to. And then you are left with no choice because you've got no local news to and no local civic organizations to soften that blow. You're left with no choice but to paint your neighbor with that same ideological brush that you've gotten from the national news.
Absolutely. Just a reminder, you are listening to WGTD FM 91.1. This is Community Matters, and I am talking today to Cameron Swallow about Braver Angels, which is working to bridge the political divide in our country. Bringing together quote unquote red, which is generally considered Republican or conservative, and blue, generally considered Democrats or liberals, getting people to find their common goals together rather than what drives them apart. So, Cameron, you mentioned the pandemic, and we've just heard this week talk about there being this epidemic now of isolation and loneliness, an unintended consequence of our experience with COVID-19. Do you see that as being part and parcel of sort of fueling this divide that's been created?
Do I think that the pandemic increased the divide and the polarization?
The loneliness and the isolation that came from the pandemic.
I guess mildly, yes. I think that there are other consequences of loneliness and isolation that we're seeing, in sort of more boldface type right now, like mental illness and gun violence, as that you could draw direct links back to the isolation and loneliness and of the pandemic. But did it also increase people's sense of polarization because they spent more time online and had more contact with the polarizing news sources? Yes, probably that also.
It just seems to me that when you had so much alone time, it's easy to just tune into voices that seem soothing or familiar or again, feed into the echo chamber of what you already might think is true and just kind of feel that.
I spent a lot of time in the pandemic, though, reading things across those differences that I was talking to you about, you know, and I know that a lot of people did a lot of reading about racial history in America and things that they didn't know already, right? Exposing themselves to sources that they hadn't already known in their regular life. And I was doing that also with political history and political points of view and trying to understand another kind of difference.
Let's talk a little bit about the workshops that Braver Angels sponsors and that you've been involved in and are available. Mm-hmm. What are some of those?
Well, I would put the offerings of Braver Angels into three major categories. I mean, things that you would contact me to come and give or offer to your congregation or your neighborhood or the community at large through the public library, et cetera. The first category is experiential workshops. The second category is training workshops. And the third category is an interactive Braver Angels debate. Back to that first category, the experiential workshops is where Braver Angels started. They got 10 people who had voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and 10 people who had voted for Donald Trump in 2016. They got them in a single meeting space for a full weekend, and they put them through a curriculum written by a family therapist, you know, someone who deals with divorce and separation and reconciliation. And so often Braver Angels is spoken of in terms of family counseling. And they brought the reds and the blues together across difference to see if there was room for common ground. And universally, everyone left with the impression that, oh my goodness, we are not as far apart as we are being told we are, which is the hopeful message that I see after every one of these experiential workshops. Okay. Then people realized that the experiential workshops were a lot of work to put together, and sometimes that work could be hindered or hampered by the fact that some of the participants were not as well prepared as they could have been for the right kind of interaction with the other political side. And so some training workshops were born. And that's what I give the most often because it takes less preparation for the hosting community. You don't have to balance how many reds and how many blues are coming. You don't have to give a whole day. You can get this done in 2.5 hours. So I give these much more often and then hope that someone who's given one of the training workshops, like Skills for Bridging the Divide or Depolarizing Within or Families and Politics, that those communities might decide, we liked this, we've been trained now, let's have one of the experiential workshops. But like I said, those are harder to plan because you have to get exactly equal numbers of reds and blues to commit to give a day to the project. Mm-hmm. And then that third category has had a lot of success in national Zooms and college campus programs, and it's called Braver Angels Debates. And we always have to reassure people, we hasten to reassure people that they are not like presidential debates, and they are also not like competitive high school forensic society debates. You're not trying to make as airtight an argument as possible to score as many rhetorical points and bash your opponent into oblivion. You are trying to state your own belief, opinion, approach, and particularly the anecdotal history that brought you to that belief, opinion, or approach. And someone speaks for the resolution, takes questions that are deflected through the chair so that nothing's too harsh or confrontational. And then someone speaks against the resolution and again takes questions through the chair. And then someone else from the crowd gets up. Anyone can volunteer to speak. Anyone can be called upon to speak. It's at the chair's discretion, and anyone can ask a question. And it really does feel as if the whole group, I've had a debate for as few as 15 and for as many as 100. And it really does feel like everyone is involved in the conversation. So that's my favorite quick introduction to Braver Angels events, the experiential, the training, and the debates.
Great. When people get involved, I know, you know, they get a frequent email from the Braver Angels organization. And one topic that I saw on that email recently was the golden rule concept and how to bring that back. Is that something that the organization has talked about a little, about how to encourage people to treat others as they want to be treated and use that as a guide?
Well, certainly. I have a different name for that foundational principle, which I call rehumanizing. And so, but an extension of the definition of allowing other people to be human is that you extend the golden rule to them. So yes, Braver Angels tries hard to remind every individual that even the extremists who might have said something you find appalling and horrifying and that you're tempted to paint with that broad brush of ideology and want to cast them into outer darkness as beyond redemption, they're a human being too. And if you had them in that Braver Angels debate space, telling their story with their particular path to the moment in which they said that thing that appalled you, then you might reach a different understanding of their position, how they came to it, how it might not be permanent, how it might be involved completely in a certain circumstance. There are all kinds of variables. And if we allow people to be human, then we can allow them to have those exceptions and those eccentricities and those quirks. And they don't just have to be either evil or stupid in order to disagree with us.
Okay. Have you, through the workshops and the events that you've hosted or helped conduct, have you seen evidence of people being able to come together? Have you seen points of light and I guess sort of exceptional instances of communication?
Yes, there are points of light in every event that I do. Somebody's eyebrows go up. It's like, oh, I didn't expect to hear that from the likes of you. You know, they assumptions get undermined when people meet face to face. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I was terrified that that wasn't going to happen in an online workshop, but it still does. People can have that moment of revelation of, oh, I didn't expect to hear that. You know, and there are these clever ways of using the Zoom boxes and getting people to hide their video so that only certain people appear to have a visible conversation. And then the people turn off their video and turn on their video. And then there's a different group that's being shown and having a conversation to be observed. And they start to believe that they're the only ones talking, and they forget that they have an audience. And the audience starts to believe that they're just a fly on the wall getting to listen in on how the other side talks among themselves. And it's brilliant. And there's never a time that I've left a workshop without knowing that people have learned something that they would not have known otherwise.
Well, that's definitely very hopeful. That's a hopeful way to look at it. And, you know, have you heard back from one of the things that often people mention is, you know, I'm worried about going to Thanksgiving or a family wedding or a birthday party because we always clash politically. Have you heard stories of people having had this opportunity to examine their own internal polarization or learn ways of talking to others that then manifested in success stories and at family events?
Yes. I mean, any teacher knows that it's a relatively rare occurrence for a student to take the trouble to come back and communicate, I learned this very valuable thing from you and it served me in this way. Especially if you teach middle school. But yes, I've had those gratifying experiences of I went to the Braver Angels depolarizing workshop about families and politics, which was strategically held in early November. And it really did make a difference in my Thanksgiving conversations. I was able to have that conversation with my sister-in-law and we could talk about something besides the pumpkin pie in safety.
That's wonderful. You are listening to WGTD HD FM 91.1. This is Community Matters. I'm talking to Cameron Swallow today about her involvement in Braver Angels, the nonprofit organization in the nation that works to help bring together the bridge the political and partisan divide. So thanks again, Cameron, for being here. So now you talked about there's going to be a Braver Angels convention, and the last one was in person, and the last in-person one was in 2019, and you met somebody famous in 2019 in an elevator, right? Wasn't that at a convention?
Oh, that's true. That was at that convention that I met Peter Yarrow, who was an early adopter of Braver Angels, the Braver Angels depolarization cause. Yes. And we harmonized in the elevator to the student dorms where the delegates were housed on the Wash U campus in St. Louis. So yes, that was a lovely, beautiful moment. And from there, I got involved with the Braver Angels music team, which put on a songwriting contest in 2020, which wasn't intended as a pandemic pastime, but it turned into one because most of the, well, actually all of the active part of the, you know, the window of accepting submissions for the songwriting contest, it was all under lockdown. And it was a great addition to the Braver Angels mission because in music, people were engaging a new audience and they were engaging their old audience in a different way, engaging hearts as well as minds in the depolarization bridge building effort. And now in 2023, we are currently engaged. We are in the window of the second songwriting contest. It ends May 12th, so get your submissions in.
Great. Now, I know this is public radio, so I can assume most listeners know who Peter Yarrow is, but you might want to explain.
Oh, right. Yes, especially if you're under 50, you might not know that that's Peter, Paul, and Mary, who, you know, made and remade the folk scene in the 1960s America and had their own very distinctive trio sound.
Right. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Absolutely. And you got to sing with him, which I think is fantastic, and exercise your love of harmony. So I bet he was great to harmonize with.
Right. And now that we have Braver Angels Music as a, you know, not just a one-time songwriting contest event, but as really part of the Braver Angels mission, we can talk about harmony literally and metaphorically.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was good. So how many submissions have you been getting for the songwriting contest?
We're a little over half done, and we've got about 75. So we are hoping that that's less than half the total. We would like to have 200 by the time we get to mid-May, but we will take whatever we can get, and the winning song contribution will be invited with their transportation paid to play their song at the convention in July in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Fun. Oh, that's wonderful. Are you part of judging the contestants? No,
I am a lowly volunteer that coordinates other volunteers who are listening to the songs and categorizing them in several different ways on a spreadsheet to give the judges as much upfront information as possible so that their job is easier in the final judging round.
Okay, sounds great. So songwriting contest, May 12th, I believe you said, is the deadline?
Is the deadline, yes. And so, winners will be announced on the 4th of June, and the convention where it will be aired will be July 5th through 8th.
Great. So, and generally speaking, is one to write a song about depolarization?
Such a good question, Jenny. This is, in fact, I just had an inquiry today from a songwriter saying, does my song have to be an anthem of reconciliation? I said, no. And she said, I have this song that's like a conversation between, you know, someone on this side and someone on that side of the gun violence issue. And they both ended up dying in this particular incident. And the song, each verse of the song is from the two different points of view. And is that too dark? Should I not enter that song? I said, no, you should definitely enter that song, because we are valuing both songs about bridge building, like those anthems, and songs that are examples of bridge building, where two people, even, you know, in the imagined scenario, get to talk and tell their stories from different points of view.
If someone wants to learn more about that song contest or about getting involved with Braver Angels, what can they do?
Well, the easy one-stop shop there is www.braverangels.org. And from there, you'll see a tab that says what we do. And you'll see a tab that talks about Braver Angels Music. And under Braver Angels Music, you'll see the songwriting contest.
Great. And then also how to participate in workshops or learn more information about workshops or trainings.
On that landing page at braverangels.org, you'll see find an event, and you could find things that are open to visitors, even if they're being held in New Hampshire. If it's a Zoom meeting, they might be welcoming somebody from Wisconsin to their meeting, or you could find something that is within driving distance, or you'll find a way to inquire about how to book an event. But if you don't want to look at the website and you're in this area and you want to book an event, you can also just email me at cameron.swallow@gmail.com.
Great. Do you have any workshops or trainings coming up in the next couple of months?
No. My last in-person thing that was on the calendar for the spring was the Rotary Tri-Con in La Crosse, Wisconsin this past weekend. And it was fabulous. We did a debate on resolved the United States government should mandate vaccines to protect the public health. We had someone speak for it with questions, had someone speak against it with questions. Everybody got to participate. It was fantastic. But I'm happy to talk about planning and scheduling other events locally or statewide.
Great. And again, that's cameron.swallow@gmail.com, correct?
Correct.
Great. So I can't let you go without talking about your other hat, which is Flat Creek Highway, your bluegrass group. So what's going on with Flat Creek Highway?
Well, we're playing a new venue up in Wrightstown, Wisconsin, where I've never been. It's a converted old former church building, and it's now called, rechristened, Turner Street Music Hall. And they have listening concerts, so it's not dance music at the bar, but a concert where people come and listen to the band play. And it's going to be Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6. And if anybody wants a road trip up north, come join us.
Great. So tell us a little bit about what you do in the bluegrass band, Flat Creek Highway.
Well, I play rhythm guitar and sing. We have 3-part vocals, and we have banjo, mandolin, fiddle, and bass around the rhythm guitar, all doing much more interesting things than the rhythm guitar. An interesting way that bluegrass seems to fit with Braver Angels is that many, many bluegrass bands and bluegrass fans span the political divide. Both of the bands that I've been significantly part of have included both red and blue members, and so we have been an example of the bridge building that Braver Angels is trying to get more people to try.
Absolutely. Well, and I think bands, being involved in a band is much like being involved in a family. And certainly the skill sets one would learn to discuss politics within your family would transfer into your involvement in a band, because it certainly, you get your disagreements. And
so my newest idea is that Milwaukee and Chicago have agreed to host the 2 political conventions in the summer of 24. And I think this is an extraordinary opportunity for the Midwest in general, but for Rotary clubs in Wisconsin and Illinois in particular, to use a partnership with Braver Angels to roll out an identical, that's important, identical Midwestern welcome mat to both conventions.
Oh, that's an excellent idea.
And it should include bluegrass music.
That is a great idea. It's interesting that it's Chicago and Milwaukee, and we here in the Kenosha, Racine, Walworth areas are going to be impacted with both events being so close. So I think this is a great opportunity. Are the Braver Angels folks talking to both parties on how to get something like that going?
They are now. I mean, the idea has just been hatched and is beginning to be shared. So I am hopeful, but have no idea what to expect.
Well, that would be very exciting. Even if you have an opportunity to host mini workshops, Braver Angels, at both conventions, I think that would be wonderful learning experiences for people to participate. Mm-hmm. So again, give us the website for Braver Angels.
www.braverangels.org.
Great. And your email, if people need to learn more about how to have a workshop, how to participate, or how to submit a song for your song contest.
Cameron.Swallow@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, Cameron Swallow, it has been so wonderful to have you here on the program. And I thank you so much for your participation and for all you do in our communities. It's really wonderful to talk to you today.
Thanks for the invitation, Jenny.
Thank you again. You have been listening to WGTD HD FM 91.1. I'm Jenny Tunkies, and this is Community Matters. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and we're spending most of Monday's morning show with an amazing person named Raven Jemison, who is on the staff of the Milwaukee Bucks. She's going to be one of the featured guests for a big event in Kenosha on October 13th, sponsored by the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. It's their Inspire leadership event. And Raven Jemison's book about her amazing life is called More Than Representation, The Cheat Codes to Own Your Seat at the Table. Monday's morning show begins just after 8. Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, inviting you to learn about the making of the world's tallest mass timber structure. On Thursday, October 5th, the Carthage Business and Professional Coalition will hold a free lunch event with special guest Jordan Kamp, project manager for the Ascent Tower. It's a new 25-story apartment and retail site in Milwaukee that's building buzz for sustainable urban development. Register for the lunch online at carthage.edu/timber.
Support comes from Offsite, a managed information technology provider focused on cybersecurity and system reliability. Offsite's 24/7 network operations center is staffed by their team of Wisconsin-based engineers. Visit off-site.com/radio.
Well, this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of the Kenosha Pops Concert Band. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So please join us for Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
Here's a WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. For today, we can expect sunny skies. Highs will be in the mid-70s. Inland, it'll be close to 80. For tonight, mostly clear skies. Lows will be in the upper 50s to low 60s. And for tomorrow, Sunday, the highs will be near 77. And tomorrow night, lows will be near 60. This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.